Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, welcome to Kingdom Talk. I'm your host, Pastor Tyquasia Gauze on NDO, Christian Gospel Radio Network. And on tonight, our topic of discussion is going to be the battle belonging to the Lord. And the reason why we're coming from this, the reason why we're discussing this topic, I know it came up before in the past as well, and God is reiterating it again because, of course, our adversary, Satan, the enemy, is continuously fighting against every believer, continuously, you know, forming plots and plans and schemes against God's children. So on tonight, I just want to discuss that because a lot of times we are going through a lot of things and we are putting that strength in our own hands. We are actually taking on the bulk of the problem, trying to figure it out. We are trying to work it out in our natural minds, also sometimes trying to fight in the natural, trying to fight people, trying to fight the system, trying to fight finances, trying to fight family, just trying to do everything in our own hands, in our own strength. But God is telling us today to not put our strength in ourselves, because the battle doesn't belong to us. It belongs to the Lord, and he really wants us to rely on him. He really wants us to seek him before anything or before anyone else. He really wants us to worship him and praise him and remember that our victory is God-given, you know, and to have total dependency on him doing it, him fixing it, him figuring out for us by us staying strong in our faith and keeping our eyes stayed on God for the answer that we need, and then waiting on God to respond and give us direction and instruction, and then to just do whatever God says to do. And that is what is gonna lead us to the victory, because he's leading us to worship and to be obedient. And the key to winning our battles or letting God fight the battles is not doing nothing. It's not taking no action of our own or none of that without consulting him or getting direction from him. No. It's actually running to him and eliminating the fear and just resting in the fact that God got it. That God got it. We can't just sit around and think about what we can't do and what we don't have. We actually have to go out and get busy and put our hands to the plow and begin to just start doing whatever it is that God asks of us to do. We don't want to just stay there and say, oh, God is going to fix it as a genie. Oh, God is going to do it just because it's uncomfortable, just because it's unknown to us, just because it's territory that we've never been in. That does not give us a pass to say, God, okay, you pray for something. He answered and told you what to do, but it was different and it was out of your ordinary, so you didn't want to do it because you felt that it was too much. But just like in the book of Esther, if you read the story of Esther, God asked her to do something that was totally outside of her comfort zone, something that she really wasn't expecting. She got her instructions for her assignment from God through Mordecai, and she was afraid because this action, she could be put to death for, you know, for what she was being asked to do. But Mordecai didn't take pity on her, and she didn't get released from the assignment. But Mordecai did tell her that this is your opportunity to bring a change. This is an opportunity to help your people. This is an opportunity to do something great for God, because you want to be available to him. You want him to use you. You want to be willing and ready, or else God will find someone else. He will raise up another. And thankfully, she did rise up to the occasion and press through her fears, and she did what God asked her to do. And what result did she end up with? The victory. She ended up saving her nation just by her obedience, just by her stepping out regardless of her fear and still standing on her faith and trust in her God. You have to be obedient to God. You have to listen to those people that God has placed in your life to even give you direction and instruction and who God sent to speak to your spirit, man. Because has she not listened to Mordecai? Has she not submitted? Has she not taken heed to the instructions that was given to her? Who knows if her life would have turned out the way it did? Who knows if she would have, you know, been blessed as she was? She could have lost everything. She could have even died just because not being obedient. But through her obedience, through her, you know, seeking God and submitting to that assignment, that duty that was placed on her life, she was able to save the nation. And she's not the only one. Another great story we have in the Bible, it's Moses. When Moses sent, and this is Numbers 13, when Moses sent the 12 spies into the land of Canaan to see how difficult the battle was going to be and how to figure out how he was going to take the land, right? And they was going to see whether the people that was there were strong, you know, seeing if they were strong or if they was weak. He was going to pretty much check out the enemy's camp, right? And one thing we know is that you're looking to see if you can dominate them, you know, like, okay, sizing them up, basically. You're sizing the opponent up, seeing if you can, you know, handle them and take them out. And that's what Moses sent the 12 spies to do. Now, when he sent the 12 spies, they came back with news that wasn't so sweet. They came back and told him, oh, it's too many. They said, and see the land, what is it? This is what Moses told them. In Numbers 13, this verse 18, and see the land, what it is, and the people that dwell therein, whether they be strong or weak, few or many, and what the land is that they dwell in, whether it be good or bad, and what cities they be that dwell in, whether in tents or in strongholds, and what the land is, whether it be fat or lean, whether there be wood therein or not, and be ye of good courage, and bring of the fruit of the land. Now the time was the time of the first stripe grapes. So they went up and searched the land from the wilderness of Zin unto Rahab as men come to Hamath. So this was where they went, you know, and the spies, and they returned. And when they reported to Moses, they said, okay, this land is good. This land is flowing with milk and honey, and the fruit was abundant. But also, the people that live here on this land is strong, and the cities are fortified. Very large walls. They are the descendants of Anak, people of great stature and courage. So this is what the spies came back and told him. Now, out of fear, you know, that could have been a done deal. That could have been just, you know, over with. Okay, we can't do it. It's many of them. No, that's not how it works. But Caleb told the men to be quiet, the men with the fear to be quiet. And it suggested that they go up at once and take possession of the land because he was sure they could conquer it. All the men, though, with the exception of Joshua, were fearful, saying that they were all too strong for them. So that's saying that they all were fearful, and the amount of people that was fearful far outnumbered the ones that were fearless. So we cannot wait to act until we don't feel any fear or we're likely not to do nothing at all. So what we have to do is be courageous, feel the fear, and move forward anyway. Just do it anyway. We shouldn't be asking, am I afraid and why I got to do this and I'm afraid I'm not capable. What we should be asking is, what is God telling me to do? And just be ready and willing to do it. Just be ready and willing. It don't matter that you're outnumbered. It don't matter your size. It don't matter your intellect, you know, your educational background. It doesn't matter. If God sends you to it, he will bring you through it. God will give you the victory. The victory does not depend on us. The victory is coming through God, not our circumstances. And I myself is learning this because God will put you in certain positions where you can't win without him. He purposely put you in situations where you cannot win without him. And you know you can't win without him. Just to make sure nobody else take the credit, that nobody else get the glory. You're going to know that that victory came from God. You're going to know that. Nobody else can take that. Nobody else is going to be able to stand on the fact that you came out victorious, because there's going to be nobody but God. Nobody but God. And I thank him for that, because we don't want nobody to take God's glory. We want the people to see and know that it's God that does the saving, the delivering, and giving us the victory. It's him. It's all him. And then we got another example. And this is all about the battle belonging to the Lord and eliminating fear, because these people went through great battles, great circumstances, situations to where they had to solely depend on God. But everything that I like about these stories is that these people were really weak in these areas. You know, they did have the fear. It's not like they didn't have it. It's not like they weren't allowed to feel it. But God said, now move forward and do what I asked you to do, you know. And they had no choice but to do that. It was no other option. God will leave you no other option. Because you need to solely believe and trust in him. And even when you are weak, that's when he's made strong in us. That's when we become even more powerful, because he's using that weakness and he's coming through it. He's thriving through it. Because the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 12:10, for when I am weak, then I am strong. You draw from God's strength. Because he's the one who's able. He's the one that's powerful. It's not coming from out of you. You know, he said in his word in 2 Corinthians 12, the scripture before that, he said, my grace is sufficient for you. My loving kindness and my mercy is more than enough. Always available, always there, regardless of the situation, I am there. His power is being perfected in us, and it shows. In your weakest time, we got to give God what we don't have. And I know that don't make sense, but it does make sense, because when you have that fear, you got to give it to God. You know, yeah, we got to give things to God that we already have, you know, like our abilities, our gifts, you know, those type of things, our time. But we also got to give him the things we don't have in our faith. For his use. We can't let those things stop us from letting God use us. Just because we think we don't have or we can't do, you know, because we don't have it, you know, we don't know how, like Moses, we can't speak properly. You know, all those things, yes, that may be true, but those weaknesses, we got to give them over to God so his strength can flow through them. We can't deny him. We got to allow God to deal with it. We got to learn that. We got to learn that lesson, you know, that's why that grace is there. Because God will allow you to do that thing once you ask him to fight the battle for you. He will do it. 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 And we are standing on that God will do it. We have God on our side. All we need is his presence. All we need is courage. But don't allow that fear to steal your destiny. You ain't gonna never know what you're capable of until you step out on faith and just find out. Step out on faith and just do it. You're gonna fight so many battles because the enemy is not gonna go down quietly and easily. He's going to try to fight you every step of the way. Every step you take that God tells you to move, he's going to be right there trying to fight against you. But if God lives in you, Satan can't defeat you. He can't defeat you. He cannot, because God is able. And God just wants his people to know that on today, that, listen, you are more than capable. And also another example of that, like we spoke about at my home church today, was when Jehoshaphat went to war, right? And he seen that it was multitudes of them, of the army, and it was not enough of his people to fight. And they immediately, not without a shadow of a doubt did they wait, immediately they began to see God. Immediately they was praying and fasting, and, you know, Jehoshaphat called a meeting for everybody to come, the leaders, you know, the people that was placed in positions of authority, the children, the wives, everybody to come. And he began to tell them what it is that they needed to do to win this battle. They had to go and pray and worship. They had to praise. And God was going to give them the victory. And it was way less of them than the multitudes. But God gave them another way to win that battle. And that's what God is saying on tonight. Sometimes it's not the way that we think we're going to win. Sometimes we think that we should do it this way or that way because it is the normal way. It is the expected way. But God is saying, I'm giving you a new strategy. I'm giving you a new way to conquer the enemy, because you can't do old things. That's why Bible says, old things, it's gone. It's passed away. It's done. It's over with. You can't put new wine in old wineskins. It's just old. Leave it alone. God is trying to do something new, to do a new thing. Don't let the enemy find you where he left you. So God is trying to, that concept of don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. God is trying to give you another way so that you can defeat the enemy. See, if they would have been in their carnal minds, if they had not prayed, if they had not been worshiping, if they had not been fasting and praising in their natural mind, it wouldn't make sense, you know, to go down there and worship. What do you mean worship? It's a whole great multitude. It's a big army. You want us to go down there and start singing and praising? That don't make sense, God. But God is saying, I want you to do something so unordinary, so out of this world, that when people see your victory, they have no choice but to know it's who you serve, because it don't make sense. And that's what I love about God. He loves to confuse your enemy. He loves to make people stay stuck with a crazy looking face, like, wow, how did that happen? And I love God for that. He knows how to keep people astounded, because God is spontaneous. He do things differently all throughout the Bible, where he spit on, when Jesus spat on his hand and touched the man's eye so that he could see. God loves to just do things differently. And that's what I love about him. He's just different. So he's calling us to be different, because he said we are peculiar people. So he don't want you to go into the battle in the same old way. He want to give you a new strategy, a new tactic to defeat Satan, because sometimes Satan is used to you coming one way. He's used to you doing this. He's used to you responding this way. He's used to you saying that. He's used to you doing this. But God is saying, no, now I want you to do this. I want you to throw him way off course, because he didn't even see this coming. I want you to be in such a place that when he come that way, it no longer even works, because I have you over here doing X, Y, and Z, preparing for me to win the victory on your behalf. And that's what God is asking of us on today. He's asking us to allow him to fight the battle, to put it in his hands, no matter if you are fearful, no matter if you are not politically correct, no matter if you do not have the educational background, the right speech, the right vocabulary, it does not matter. It does not matter your history, your background. God is saying, I'm willing to use you as long as you're willing to be used, as long as you're ready to follow my directions and be obedient to my commands, what I tell you, let's go. And I will win this battle for you, because they all won. The stories, the example I just gave you, read the book of Esther, she won the victory. That is victory. When your whole nation is saved, that's victory. That's a landslide victory. Moses, when they went into, when he sent the spies to go and check it out and see, you know, what was going on in the land, flowing with milk and honey, that's a victory. When you let God fight the battle, when you let God do it, when you put it in God's hands, when you know that the battle is too difficult for you, because Moses knew that. He knew that it was too difficult. You got to read the book, though. You got to read the whole book and the fullness of it, but it's God that was in the midst of these people and these great battles. It was God who went before them and went with them, and they came out victorious. That's really what God is just saying, that I want to go before you. I want to fight this battle for you. All I need you to do is focus on me. All I need you to do is praise me. All I need you to do is fast. He's saying exactly what he need out of us. He need us to bow down, you know, worship him in spirit and in truth. He need us to do that, to humble ourselves and know that we are nothing without God, that we are not able to do this without his power, without his spirit, without his glory, without his anointing, without the fire of the Holy Ghost. We need to understand that and grasp that concept, that without him, we will fail. Without God, we are dead. Without him, we have nothing. Once we grasp that concept and we put him first and know that he's our everything, and that there's nothing that can defeat him or his power, we're going to come out victorious every time. And God is speaking a lot about these different battles on tonight on this show, because he's letting us know, like, listen, okay, cool. Yeah, I'm going to bless you. Yeah, I'm going to give you X, Y, and Z, but you're going to have to fight. It's not just going to be all peaches and cream. You're not just going to get a blessing and think, okay, cool, that's it. I got the blessing. I'm chilling. That's not how this thing, that's not how this walk works. For the new levels is the new devils. Now, I don't think people grasp that. They think it's a cliche, but it's not. When God exalts you and God begins to enlarge your territory and give you more things and more blessings, more favor, you don't think the enemy is upset by that? You don't think the haters are looking for a way to bring you down? You don't think the naysayers are trying to speak negativity over you because of how blessed you are? Yeah, that comes with it. So that's why God is using these battles as examples on tonight, because he's showing, listen, yeah, I'm going to do all that for you, but just know it's going to be a battle. Just know you're going to have to fight. Just know that, you know, it's going to be a lot of multitude, as it was throughout the word, that is going to be against you. But guess what? I got your back. That's basically what God is saying. I'm paraphrasing. I got your back. I'm here for you. I got you. I'm going to fight for you. You ain't even got to lift a finger, because I got this one. You know, they're bigger than you. So God is that parent coming like, oh, no, I got this, father. You know, they brought their father. You know how people get into a fight in the world and, you know, they want to bring their mamas, they sisters, and it's like, you can't fight those kids. You an adult. Go get your mama. Go get your father. So here we are coming to the battle, bringing our father. Like, what's up? We couldn't handle it. We couldn't do it. It was out of our hands. The enemy that we was up against was too big for us. The generational curse in our life was too heavy for us. You know, the bondage was too strong for us. But God said, you know what? I'm here. I'm going to fight this one for you. You don't got to do nothing. I got this. I'm going to handle this. I'm going to give you the victory in this. And all we got to do is praise and worship and fast and pray. I'll take that. I will take that. God is showing you the type of posture you need to have in battle, because sometimes you don't even know what to do, but God is saying, take your position. This is your position in battle. He's telling you, this is your position in battle. I'm giving you direction. I'm giving you instruction. Your position in battle while you're going through is not trying to take it in your own hands, not trying to fight, not trying to think of ways that you could get it done, not trying to think of ways of if you're going to be the lawyer, not trying to think of ways how I'm going to get this money up for X, Y, and Z. No, your position in the battle, because you know it's a battle, is to be seeking God diligently. It's to be on your face. It's to be in a place of worship. It's to be in a place of fasting. To be in a place where you're seeking answers from the Lord on how to get the victory. And sometimes while you're in the midst of just doing just that, God is already working it out. And you, that is your answer. Got to work it out while you are focused and have your mind fixed on him. By the time you come out of that worship, by the time you come out of that praise, by the time you come off that fast, by the time you come out of that prayer closet, the victory already be won. And sometimes that is the answer. Once you come out, the victory was already won on your behalf. But we have to continuously focus on God, and that's what he wants us to do. He said, listen, if you focus on me and you lift me up, you give me all the praise and all the glory, I'm going to handle it. I'm going to go before you. I'm going to fix it. I'm going to fight it for you. You ain't even got to do nothing. And I love him for that. And that's why I serve him, and that's why I thank him, and that's why I bless him, because he is just a good God. He takes the load off of us. He takes the pressure off, the weight of, you know, having to fight a battle. That's a lot. You know, you don't know how you're going to come out of that, especially when you're looking at a multitude and you're looking at something that's so great that you're up against, and you're like, God, how am I going to do this? God, how is this going to get done? I ain't built for this. This is bigger than me. This is above me, as we say. This is above my pay grade, Lord. But here we are with such a great God, a loving God, a just God. He said, I got it. He said, I would never leave you nor forsake you. I am your Father. I love you. I am the I am that I am. And because he is that, he just gonna do it for us because he loves us. And once we're doing our part, which is focusing on him and seeking his face, he's going to do this. And then we're going to obtain the victory. As we spoke about last week on Sunday, that your victory was obtained through your faith, that your faith was going to give you the victory. And that's how it's applied. So it's still that. The word didn't change. Your faith is still going to give you the power for your victory, but it's through your faith where you be obedient to what God tells you to do, regardless of what you don't have and regardless of your fears, because these great leaders in the Word, they still have fear. They still didn't know. They still, some of them didn't understand, but they pressed past their fears and they moved forward and was obedient to what God told them to do. So that's what he's saying to his believers on tonight. Still press past. You know, sometimes you don't know how it's going to get done. You don't see a way. You don't know how that bill is going to be met, but you have to trust God. You have to stand on his word, his promises. You have to put faith in him and know that he's able. You have to trust in him. You have to. It's no other option, because you can't do it on your own. You can't do it by yourself. If you could, it would have already got done. So that's telling you right there that you can't do it on your own. And you don't want to exert yourself. You don't want to overwhelm yourself. You don't want to drain yourself. Yeah, we know other things do these things to us, but sometimes it's ourselves. Because the ways of a man seemeth right, but in the end is destruction. Don't destroy yourself because you're trying to do what a God is supposed to do. You're not a God. You're a child of God. Let God do it. Allow God to move in your life. Allow God to show up and show out like only he can. Allow him to be the head of your life. Because we say that, but do we really mean that? Let him have control. We don't know how to fix it. We don't know how to, you know, deal with certain difficult people, you know, difficult family members, people at our job, you know, because we don't understand. You know, we don't know sometimes why people act the way they act or doing what they're doing. We don't know why things is just happening to us crazy, you know, big stuff or whatever. Yeah, we know we got to go through it for our calling, you know, or because we said yes to God. We know that. We know that, but sometimes, you know, we humans, we want to know why, we nosy, and we don't have those answers. All we know is that God going to fix it. All we know that God said it's going to be all right. All we know is that God said those that suffer with me shall reign with me. All we know is what the word tells us. That's it. And sometimes that's just all we have to stand on. We just have to trust God. We just have to lean more into him, draw nigh to him, so he can really give us the victory and give us, you know, the direction that we need, how to make it through. And that's all we're doing, just trying to make it through life, just trying to spread the gospel, just trying to share whatever it is that God lay on our hearts and tell us and reveal to us and share it with others. That's it. That's all we're doing. And once we grasp that concept that, you know what, yeah, this battle belongs to God. I'm giving it to God. We'll be less stressed. We'll be less overwhelmed. We'll be less frustrated and agitated and irritated. Give it to God. You don't have to carry that weight on your shoulders. You don't have to feel that pressure. You don't have to be annoyed because, oh, I can't get it done. I can't do it. I tried everything. Okay, well, try God. You don't have to be agitated, angry. Give it to God. Let God fix it. We're not saying do nothing. No, because that's not how it works. Faith without works is dead. I'm not telling you to do nothing, but I'm telling you to give it to God, and I'm telling you to work while you wait and pray and fast, while you wait and worship, while you wait and praise, while you wait, and then God will do the rest. God will do the rest. Because God is able. He loves us, and he wants us to have a good quality of life. He wants us to have life and have life more abundantly. We cannot just say, okay, yeah, our storehouse is laid up in heaven for us. Yes, I understand that. But God said that we can have a good life here on earth. But first, we have to defeat the giants in the land and conquer them. And then we could just live freely in a land flowing with milk and honey. And that's what we deserve, you know. That's what we should have as children of the Most High God. We're sons and daughters of the King. You know, we're royalty. And when we really grasp who we are, we will understand what we deserve, and we will not settle for what the enemy throws at us or what lie the enemy tells us in our ears or what lie or illusion that the enemy shows us that we should have. No, greater is he that's in us and he that is in the world. We are destined to have greater. Thank you for tuning in to Kingdom Talk. God loves you, and so do I. And you guys have a blessed night.